Ruthless, an EVE Online novella, written by Tony Gonzalez, adapted for audio by the EVE Reader podcast. Chapter 5, War Relics. Location, Pure Blind Region, Solar System QTEC 5211, Sigma Point, Admiral Bane's fleet staging area. Betrayal, Bane thought, invokes the vilest of human emotions. He watched patiently as camera feeds from the sentry guns of forward bases 9, 1, and 2 projected images directly into his mind. Surrounding the powerful Scorpion-class battleship slaved to his frail physical self was an armada of Garista's warships whose commanders waited in angered silence for his orders. Bane told each of his officers that their prey was a man who conspired to betray the Garista's Brotherhood, and that by doing so had betrayed each of them and their families personally. Otro Garyushi and all his deranged followers are to be put down, Bane explained. Like facing a cornered animal, you cannot afford to make any mistakes, he had warned them. Kill as soon as the opportunity presented itself, without remorse. A voice disrupted Bane's concentration.
Target's reconnaissance elements have been destroyed according to your instructions, sir.
And so it begins. You're certain they had time to assess the size of the fleet?
Yes, sir, without question.
Excellent. Hold there and await my command.
Acknowledged.
Bane focused his attention on the hangar bays. Any moment now, the first ships of Otro's pathetic fleet would undock, revealing which of the bases he was using to hide. And then the massacre would begin. Show yourself, Bane thought. Meet the destiny you've so foolishly chosen for yourself. Location, Pure Blind Region, Solar System ROIR TAC-Y, Garista's Base Forward 9.
It's done,
Mila said as she switched the comm terminal down.
You two had better know what you're doing.
She has your entire analysis.
Copies will arrive at each of the destinations you specified within the hour, and my agent is on her way back to the Ishikone corporate headquarters on Malkolin 5 as we speak.
Outstanding! Do you have any idea what this means?
Gabriel jumped from his chair and prepared to enter the mobile gantry unit. The Scorpion-class battleship awaiting his arrival loomed in the hangar beyond the thick glass like a floating city. Mila, however, looked worried.
Just leave my name out of this.
She got up, grabbed her duffel bag, and hoisted it over her shoulder. The boarding area for passengers was one deck below them.
That information might as well be antimatter. There will be dire consequences for many people, to say nothing of ourselves if we're not careful. I admire your courage and determination, Gabriel. I sincerely mean that. But you're in over your head with this.
I've been told that before. Hurry aboard, there isn't much time.
Otro was now looking at the world through the lens of a camera drone. His MOA-class cruiser floated in the hangar, fully crewed, armed, and ready for departure. The fleet commanders had all checked in, indicating their readiness to undock.
Gabriel, you ready?
Roger that, Otro. Mila is safely on board. Your call.
Otro switched comm channels to address the fleet.
Tackler squadron, go.
The frigate squadron commander answered immediately.
Roger. Tackler's in dock.
There you are, thought Bane as he watched the progression of Merlin and Kestrel-class frigates emerge from the hangar of 4-9. After giving a series of terse commands to his officers, the warships surrounding him disappeared. They would be within firing range of Otro's fleet in less than 5 minutes. Of the three bases Bane had selected as possibilities, Forward 9 was the most accessible from Sigma Point. Bane was hardly surprised. His ambush plans were always perfect. While his own Scorpion accelerated to warp speed, Bane instructed the sentry guns of Forward 9 to acquire passive targeting locks on the ships that he selected. He would not commence blotting Otro's frigate squadron out of existence just yet. Patience, he thought, is a lesson too easily lost on the young.
Tackers are out. Perimeter's clear.
Spectres, go.
Wilco, Spectres outbound.
Otro switched channels again.
Gavriel, what do you think? The abandoned mining outpost in ATAC DDGY?
Sounds good to me, Otro. Course is set whenever you're ready.
Stand by. One more Spectre's ahead of me.
Bane counted 10 Blackbird-class cruisers in all, flying a lazy orbit around the station with their frigate escorts following close behind. Then, a MOA-class cruiser emerged from the hangar.
Hello, Otro.
Admiral, all ships in position, awaiting your mark.
Stand by.
Bane smiled from somewhere underneath the layers of ship weaponry, electronics, and armor surrounding him. With a single thought, all four Forward 9 sentry guns fired twin 425mm antimatter rounds at Otro's frigate squadron commander. The flash of light caught Otro by surprise, seeming too bright to be a navigation beacon from the station or any ships. Instinctively roading the camera view toward its source, he saw an expanding shockwave and debris field in the midst of the frigate group. At the same time, four flashing threat indicators appeared on his tactical display. Just as the horror of what was happening began to set in, Otro saw four bright streaks of light converge on the Spectre Commander's Blackbird. The Warcom channel erupted immediately with confusion.
What the hell is happening?
The Spectre Commander never finished his sentence as a second volley from the sentry guns vaporized his cruiser in a sickening flash of blue and white. Otro's stomach turned to ice. Frantic, he switched channels.
Gabriel, don't undock. That's an order.
Otro winced as another explosion illuminated the space around his ship.
Otro, what's going on?
The goddamn sentry guns. Bane has control of them.
Impossible. How do you...
Otro's tactical display suddenly jumped from four threats to more than 30. Bane surveyed the battle unfolding below him with a sadistic ecstasy. With the sentry guns doing most of the work, his own frigates and cruisers pounced on the disorganized force with relentless precision, systematically destroying ship after ship. Otro's fleet scattered in different directions, with no discernible coherence among them. Explosions illuminated the outer hull of Forward 9, while Otro's MOA twisted and squirmed, jammed into helplessness, unable to do anything but watch as his followers were killed in front of him.
Leave his ship incapacitated and unable to flee, so that he will know humiliation and regret before he dies.
But the mayhem did not unravel precisely according to Bane's prediction.
Why has the other traitor, Gavriel, not emerged to assist his dying comrades? Perhaps he is more of a coward than I thought.
It was a possibility that Bane had hoped to avoid, but was amply prepared for nevertheless.
Warp out anywhere you can!
Otro screamed, reeling in mental agony as he watched the carnage before him. Everywhere he looked, his ships and crews were being mercilessly slaughtered in a cataclysmic battle as hybrid charges and missiles slammed into ship hulls. Otro's head began to spin as the anguished cries of his ship captains pierced his soul. Somewhere in the confusion, he could hear Gabriel shouting orders in vain to bring order to the chaos outside. Otro knew the battle was hopeless and shuddered at the thought of his sister being aboard a ship that couldn't escape from the station. Right at the brink of complete panic, he remembered his bitter hatred of Bane, Ishikone, and all the pain of his life that had led to this moment. The frenzied rage surrounding him was drowned out by a swirling vortex of nightmares and dread, taking him deeper and deeper towards complete breakdown, when suddenly, out of the abyss, a ray of hope revealed itself with absolute clarity. Infinitesimal as that ray was, Otro embraced it in the darkness with desperate ferocity. There is always a way out, he thought, as the solution unfolded before him. There is always hope. Snapping back from the psychological chasm, Otro suddenly found himself imbued with supreme situational awareness. Quickly scanning the battlefield, he instinctively sought out the greatest threat posed by the enemy fleet, a Garista's troop transport moving into docking position with Forward 9. Otro keyed the comlink.
Gabriel, be advised that you have one enemy troop transport on final approach to Forward 9. Gather whatever people that can fight together and prepare to defend yourself. You'll have to hold them off for a maximum of 60 minutes.
An hour? We don't even know we'll last 5 minutes.
Gavriel, old friend, you've been like a brother to me all these years. I have more faith in you than anyone I have ever known. Protect my sister. I will return with help within the hour.
Wait, what do you plan?
Otro terminated the link and started the self-destruct sequence for his ship. Bane saw it half a second too late. A second Blackbird from Otro's fleet had escaped into warp, and he was in the midst of delivering a scathing reprimand to his E-War commander when the MOA suddenly exploded. His frigates were unable to lock down the fleeing pod in time, and it vanished. When the last of Otro's cruisers exploded a moment later, Bane furiously ordered his frigates to seek and destroy the pod. His rage compelled him to openly broadcast a system-wide message to Otro.
I did not teach you to be a coward, boy.
A few seconds later, a response came. You did not teach me to be a fool, either. The gantry unit opened with a metallic clicking sound, followed by a hiss of escaping air. Gavriel emerged, still soaked from the ectoplasm inside the Scorpion's pod. Mila was nervously waiting for him, oblivious to the events happening outside the station.
What's wrong? Why aren't we leaving?
Gavriel's dead serious appearance made her uneasy. He strode purposefully towards her, and with a firm but gentle grip, took her by the arm.
Come with me quickly. I'll explain along the way.
6 seconds later, they were standing inside a station elevator shuttle, plummeting downward and away from the hangar. Mila became anxious.
So? You gonna tell me what's happening?
Gabriel's eyes met hers like laser beams. The boyish demeanor that he had revealed during the presentation of her Ishikon analysis was completely gone.
When it comes to numbers, you've proven yourself to be an exceptional learner.
Okay?
Mila was puzzled. The elevator stopped, and Mila gasped when the doors opened. Before her stood 24 rugged-looking men and women, armed with rifles and other heavy weaponry slung casually over their shoulders. Gabriel turned away from Mila to face the group of mercenary warriors. Without saying a word, one of them tossed him a rifle and helmet. Gabriel shoved the weapon into Mila's hands.
Well, then learning how to use this should be simple for you.
Location, Lone Trek Region, Malkalin 5, Moon 1, Ishikon Corporate Headquarters.
Raleigh.
He thought he heard someone, but the sensation of his skull being drilled open by a mining laser was so overwhelming that he opted to ignore the voice and continue focusing on his misery.
Wake up, Raleigh.
Annoyed, he reluctantly accepted the fact that someone was talking to him who refused to go away. It was a familiar-sounding voice. He guessed it was his wife and rolled over to his other side, pulling a pillow as close to his ear as possible.
Now, Raleigh.
The pillow was forcefully ripped away from his arm. In nearly the same instant that he was able to feel anger, he felt a cold metallic object thrust against his forehead. A very sobering shiver trickled down his spine.
Turn over onto your back, slowly.
Raleigh opened his eyes and found himself staring at the business end of an 11mm pistol. He did exactly as he was instructed to.
There's a glass of water on your nightstand, plus a few supplements that will sober you up.
The gun backed away from him, and Raleigh moved his eyes past the barrel pointed at him and focused on the intruder's face. His jaw dropped. Capri's expression bore no resemblance to the playful flirt that she was the last time they met.
Quickly, please. You're going to be late for your meeting, and you're not ready to face the board just yet.
Raleigh glanced over at the nightstand. The water and pills were right where she said they would be.
What's your reason for being here? Can't you just be gone with whatever it is you plan on stealing?
It should be perfectly clear to you by now that if it was your life or possessions that I wanted, they both would be mine by now. What I'm here to discuss requires your undivided attention, and this weapon ensures that I have it.
Raleigh took a moment to consider just how surreal the situation was. A gorgeous woman pointing a cannon at my face in my own home. How ridiculous.
You can't escape from here. You've damned yourself and your future by bringing that weapon into—
Some things are worth dying for, Raleigh. And I don't plan on leaving until you see what it is that I've come here to show you. Now swallow those pills and come with me to your study.
I really don't have time for—
The glass of water next to Raleigh shattered as the pistol spit a fiery round through it. The bullet continued into the nightstand, spreading a burst of splinters across the room.
What the hell are you—
The bedding in between his spread-eagled legs began exploding in little puffs of foam padding as Capri walked the rounds closer and closer to his crotch.
Whoa, 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 all right already.
Raleigh, please get up and walk to your study.
Raleigh very quickly got out of his bed. Location, Pureblind Region, Solar System ROIR TAC-V, Garista's Base Forward 9.
Keep running, Mila. We're almost there.
Her legs were starting to burn, and the rifle felt like it weighed a ton. Ahead of her were two mercenaries, jogging slower than they would normally just to stay close to her and Gabriel. The rest of the group was far ahead of them.
Why? Can't we use the elevator shuttles?
Gabriel talked as if he were exerting all the effort of being seated.
Because Bane's troops are already in the station, and they can control them from any comlink terminals on the hangar concourse. To compensate, we sabotaged most of the direct routes to our destination. Now, the maintenance tunnels are our only way in.
Only way into what?
One of the station's grid junctions.
Mila heard voices down the hall.
The energy generated by the core is routed through them to supply power to different parts of the station. We're going to see to it that some of those parts are shut down.
Which parts?
The hangar doors, MGU collars, and all the communication relays linking this station to anything outside of it, including ships, other stations, and most importantly, the sentry guns.
They emerged from the hallway into a cavernous, hexagon-shaped chamber with a thick, towering pillar that rose from floor to ceiling in the center. The pillar's base was 15 meters wide on each side and resembled a socket with enormous, gunmetal-grade pipes feeding it from the bottom. The pillar's cross-section was also shaped like a hexagon, and from the middle of each side extended a thinner pipe that spanned the open space and ran into the walls directly across from them, similar to the spokes of a wheel. Maintenance trenches ran beneath each spoke and terminated at the pillar's base. The mercenaries were working quickly inside of them, setting up heavy weapons across the trench ridges and training them towards the entrances into the chamber. One of the mercenaries noticed Gavriel and jogged up to him.
Captain, we're about done setting up a perimeter, and I'll wait for your word to cut power. We'll put down traps and claymores when the lights go out.
Excellent work, Sergeant. You may proceed as soon as Miss Gariushi enters the trench.
Wait a minute. Why are you going to put down explosives with the lights out?
Every kind of sensor you can imagine is embedded within those walls. Optical, infrared, heartbeat sensors, you name it. Bane's men will know exactly where we are because the station is telling them. Showing them where we're laying traps wouldn't be very smart, would it?
I get the point.
So you're Otro Gariushi's sister?
The sergeant's right eyebrow shot upward.
It's an honor to meet you,
he said, nodding slightly before hurrying back down into the trench. Location, Lone Trek Region, Elonaya System, Kaldari State High Security Territory. Otro broke his concentration just long enough to consider the irony of his predicament, hurtling through space in a pod manufactured by the corporation that I declared war against. The routes to and from Empire Space were pre-programmed fixtures in the personalized navigation system of every ship he traveled in, with carefully plotted jumps that put him directly on top of the stargates that he needed to travel between systems. The border crossing at Torino's system was uneventful. Seeing pods come through there was hardly an unusual event for the locals, but the deeper he traveled into Empire territory, the greater the risks. Any Ishikone vessel that spotted him would attack him without warning, and Bane had undoubtedly alerted the Garistas operating here to be on the lookout for him as well. Deciding that this system was close enough, Otro warped to one of the station's moons and started to orbit. 20 minutes should have been enough time, he thought, opening up the communications link. Location, Lone Trek Region, Malkalin 5, Moon 1, Ishikone Corporate Headquarters. Shock, disgust, and anger were all evident on Raleigh's face as the information in the report file passed his eyes, and perhaps just a little bit of guilt as well, Capri thought. With her primary mission accomplished, it was time to start planning her exit. The shuttle bay was the only way off the station, and she wasn't sure if Raleigh would have to be coerced into escorting her there or not. By far, this was the most dangerous assignment that Mila had ever asked of her. It was also the first time she'd ever fired a gun outside of a firing range. I have no idea what this is about, she thought, but it had better be worth it.
Where did you get all of this?
It was given to me by my superiors, and I don't know what it contains. My job was just to make sure that you read it.
What firm are you with? Lai Dai? Kala Kyota? Tell me who else knows about this.
Capri waved the gun.
Settle down, Raleigh. I don't work for anyone that you've heard of. Think of me as a courier.
Capri, I know you're the one with the gun here, but being associated with that information in any way puts your life in unspeakable danger. I sincerely thank you and whoever sent you for bringing it here, but you need to know that what you've shown me could have disastrous consequences if it gets into the wrong hands.
That sounded earnest enough, she thought. All the more reason to get the hell out of here. As she opened her mouth to reply, the comlink on Raleigh's desk chirped. When he looked to see who it was, his face went completely pale. He turned back towards Capri and glared at her as if she had just committed an atrocity.
I should have known you were with the Garistas.
Excuse me?
Capri was genuinely confused. When she glanced past his shoulders and saw the portrait on the screen behind him, she understood exactly what he meant. Otro's delivery lasted just over 5 minutes.
I need an answer.
Raleigh was visibly distressed. Capri was speechless.
You aren't giving me much choice in the matter. This is unprecedented blackmail, extortion on a scale greater than anything I could possibly fathom.
And the scale of Les Ackerland's crimes are the greatest in the history of our race, and possibly all of Eve. This is an opportunity to set everything right, and you stand to gain the most by taking this chance than anyone else.
Me? What do I gain from this insanity?
You'll get your pride back and the respect you deserve from Ishikone and the rest of the Kaldari State. And most importantly, you'll get your family back if that's what your heart wants.
Raleigh jolted upright in surprise.
That's right, Raleigh. I know about them as well. It must have been frustrating for you, trading away the privilege of watching your own kids grow up just to keep a bastard like Les Ackland happy. If you agree to cooperate with me, then I promise that you'll at least get a fighting chance of not having to spend the rest of your life regretting the choices you've made. Not to mention the damage that those choices have caused your family. But before that can happen, the ugly truth is that you have to trust me. Starting right now, or else everything is lost.
Raleigh sat back in his chair, closed his bloodshot eyes for a moment, and took a deep breath. I've worked so hard my entire life, he thought. And now this. The crossroads where all that work has led. Otro spoke up one more time.
Seize this opportunity, Raleigh. Take it. There will never be another time like this.
From somewhere deep in Raleigh's mind, where his analytical thinking and reasoning had no domain, a voice of conscience spoke out to him. There is something undeniably inspiring about someone who has the courage to stand up for what he believes in, no matter what the cost. The fallacy of Raleigh's hollow life caught up to him in a sudden, brutal wave of self-awareness. My God, I've been such a fool. Raleigh began a slow nod, and then his expression turned to one of hardened determination.
Give me a few moments to make the necessary preparations, Mr. Gariushi.
Location, Lone Trek Region, Pyak 4, Moon 22, Yatiri Storage Station.
We'll need a mix of explosive and electromagnetic pulse heavy ordnance, plus as many thermal and kinetic shield hardening modules as you can accommodate.
The test pilot was scribbling notes down as fast as he could.
Sure, but isn't that a little...
One more thing, you won't be flying her. A replacement test pilot is en route to your location to relieve you.
The pilot blinked.
Have I done something?
You've performed the task that I've assigned to you with a degree of excellence that is unsurpassed. But an emergency situation has arisen, and I need your continued support in a new role that you are eminently qualified to handle. Consider your current rate tripled, plus a quadruple increase in hazard pay.
What the hell is going on? Thought the pilot.
Thank you, sir, but I don't under-
Listen closely to these instructions and fulfill them with haste. Choose four of your most trusted Blackbird-qualified EW specialists and equip their ships with gravimetric jamming systems and tracking links. They'll be flying close escort for the Scorpion-class battleship that I just purchased for you. It's being held in escrow under your name in the same station you're in.
Just purchased? The test pilot began to sweat.
Now wait a minute, this is crazy!
The Blackbirds are under your command, but your mission is to provide support for the Raven test pilot when he arrives. Effective immediately, you and your escorts are to follow his orders for the duration of the mission that he assigns you to.
What's the mission?
Captain, you are still bound to the secrecy clause in our contract. You are strongly advised not to break that clause. The contract is not all that will be voided if you fail to comply.
The pilot gulped.
Understood, sir. May I ask one question?
Quickly.
What's the test pilot's name?
Raleigh grimaced before answering. Although she was certainly adept at hand-to-hand combat, Mila had no formal training in military tactics. But she was smart enough to understand that Gavriel had selected this chamber to be his last stand. Bane's troops would not be able to leave the station once the grid junction was shut down. And if they were careless with their choice of weapons they used for the assault, the resulting damage could potentially trap them inside the station for a very long time. That conclusively ruled out grenades or rockets, at least not inside of the chamber. It was a brilliant strategy, Mila reflected, with its sole vulnerability being that it had a strict time limit. Otra would either produce a miracle within the 60 minutes he asked for, or they would all die waiting for it to happen. There was no escape from here without his help. She silently went over the crash course lesson on how to use the assault rifle in her hands. The gun sight is slave to the optic system mounted into your helmet, Gabriel had said. The helmet system is electronically linked to the rest of us and has a built-in friend or foe targeting system. A targeting icon will superimpose itself on anything you're pointing the rifle towards, so long as you keep that helmet on. The system displays friendlies with their names superimposed over your vision next to them in green. Foes will appear in red. Unknowns will appear in yellow. Anything that you point the dot at will be peppered with the 8.5mm tac rounds in the clip of your rifle if you squeeze the trigger, so make sure you know what you're shooting at. Mila had been too terrified to answer one way or the other at the time. The mercenaries set the heavy weapons on top of the trenches facing three of the six entrances to the grid junction. These mini-sentries could be set to motion tracking and fire on anything, up to and including smaller objects thrown into the room, that moved inside their cone of vision. The guns were chain-fed and supplied with ammo canisters kept inside the trench. The gunners could view the kill zone through the same weapon optic system used with the rifles, while staying beneath the cover that the maintenance trenches provided. Exactly half of the chamber was a sentry kill zone. Nothing could cross the open space without being shredded by computer-guided machine gun fire. The other half was covered by the mercenaries, who were settling into defensive points facing the vulnerable entrances. The only way to assault their position, Mila realized, was through trial and error. An attacker wouldn't know which doors were covered by sentry kill zones and would most likely have to trade his life just to find out. Gavriel had set the terms of this fight, drawing his enemies towards him and trapping them to prevent Bane from just detonating the station and being done with it. Or, Mila thought, at least making him think twice about it. When the demolition specialist indicated that they were ready to put the traps down, Gavriel inserted an electronic ID card hanging from his neck into a panel at the base of the pillar. His voice thundered on the station's intercom system.
Attention, Bane's troops. In just a few moments, I'm going to cut the main power supply to this station. You won't be able to leave. No ships can come to your rescue, and all subspace communication will be taken offline. Before you commence your assault, ask yourself this. Whose will is this that compels you to raise arms against us? If a man is known to have betrayed once, is it wise to heed his call to battle? Otro Geryushi is not the enemy. The man who sits outside of this station, so eager to put you in harm's way, is. The Garista's crusade against corporate subjugation is a lie, my friends. This is about greed, hidden under the pretense of freedom. This is about a thirst for power that no amount of spilled blood can quench. Not mine, not Geryushi's, not your own, and not the millions of Kaldari left stranded on Drenali 7. Their suffering is Bane's betrayal to you. The man you take your orders from embraced Ishikone's treachery and turned it to his benefit. By granting amnesty to Ishikone, he endorsed the abandonment of your brethren and left countless settlers to die, alone and desperate, in the bitter cold. I am Kaldari, and my blood flows through their veins. My fight is for Otro Geryushi and the future of the Kaldari race, and the blood that I spill on this night will be in the name of hope. It will be spilled for the death of greed and the end of betrayal. Woe to the man who challenges me on this battlefield. Like the settlers of Drenali 7, that man will know what it means to have no hope before death comes for him. He will be alone in the shadows with his conscience on one side and the barrel of a gun on the other.
Gabriel yanked the card out, and with a nod of his head, the mercenaries threw a series of switches in the trenches. Blackness engulfed the chamber immediately. Location: Lone Trek Region, Malkalin 5, Moon 1, Ishikone Corporate Headquarters. He's making this too easy for me, Les thought to himself as he checked his watch. Less than 1 minute to go, and Raleigh's still not here. 15 minutes earlier, Les had nearly fired an aide for suggesting to dispatch security guards to locate Raleigh. This could not have possibly worked out better, he thought, allowing himself a quick smile as his watch ticked off the hour. Bye-bye, Raleigh. Been great working with you. The guards stepped to the side in unison as the twin doors of the executive conference room opened. Les and the other members of his executive team stood up and watched as the board members filed into the room, one by one, without saying a word. The acting board president, Xyno Biotech CFO Ravoris Omoka, was the last to enter.
Please be seated. Let's get started right away. We have a lot of material to cover.
Ravoris looked at the empty seat, visibly annoyed.
Les, what is the explanation for his absence?
Les did his best to appear disappointed.
The truth is that I do not know where Raleigh Rashi is.
Time to set him up for the kill, he thought.
He has not been himself lately, and his performance as CFO lately has been abysmal.
The board does not appreciate having its time wasted, Mr. Aklon. Are you prepared to present Ishikun's financial report in his absence?
Jackpot.
Indeed I am, Director.
Mila was the only one who jumped when she heard the explosion, but a few of the mercenaries swore under their breath. The unmistakable sound of machine gun bursts followed. The sergeant's voice boomed over the earpiece.
Sentries offline and hold your fire. Specialist coming over the line.
Breathing fast, Neely held the rifle over the trench ridge and toggled the camera sighting on her helmet. The night vision sensors illuminated her surroundings with an artificial greenish hue. Moving the rifle as steadily as she could, she began to scan the chamber. She saw someone run out from one of the entrances, sprinting across the open space towards her. The name superimposed next to the running figure spelled Dietrich. He jumped into the trench with her, breathing heavily. Gabriel approached him.
What happened?
They're real close, Captain.
Dietrich breathed as two other specialists jumped inside the trench.
Damn minesweeper caught me rigging a trap. I set up a few charges behind me to give myself some more time.
Gabriel nodded.
Good work, Dietrich. Take up position with the others.
Two more explosions rocked the grid junction. Mila thought she could hear shouts coming from across the room, towards one of the vulnerable doors. Then, a series of loud machine gun bursts coming from the opposite side made her heart stop.
Man down. Flatline. Door 6.
Captain, Specialist Dawson is down.
Are the rest of the specialists back in yet?
More gunshots made Mila cringe as she spun towards the trench ridge behind her. Trembling, she raised the weapon over the top to see what was happening.
Dawson would have been the last of them.
Sentries back online. Gunners, take your position. This is it. If anything moves out there, cut it down.
Mila moved the weapon in the direction of door 6 and saw Specialist Dawson lying face down on the floor about 30 meters in front of her. Various pieces of equipment and a rifle lay scattered around him. The blood pooling around the corpse looked bright green through the helmet's eyepiece. She was just about to become overwhelmed with horror when the sentry gun next to her blurted out several rounds. The sound was deafening, and she cowered down back inside the trench. Hell, she thought. This has to be hell. Location, Lone Trek Region, Ibera System, near the Torino Stargate. The excitement is just killing me, thought Lieutenant Menenden Rapola. Sitting up here, babysitting a Stargate, watching industrials crawl back and forth. The Caracal-class cruiser at his command was flying a slow orbit around the gate on a routine patrol. It wasn't a very challenging assignment, and it certainly called on none of the years of grueling training that the Kaldari Navy subjected its recruits to. His patrol wingman keyed the mic.
Inbound.
Menenden rotated the camera view and saw the plasma contrails of a ship decelerating from warp.
Another ND.
He acknowledged, seemingly for the 100th time since starting this tour. This is torture, he thought, watching as the Badger-class industrial ship began a lazy turn towards the Torino Stargate. Maintaining law and order during peacetime was mostly agonizing routines and procedures. For a lucky few, there would be the occasional adrenaline rush that resulted from participating in an attack versus outlaws. Those encounters were very infrequent these days, especially for the Navy. I suppose that's a sign that all is well here in the Kaldari State, Menenden thought. He heard the mic key up again.
Inbound. Multiple ships.
Menenden was a little slow to rotate the camera towards the source of the contrails. Why bother? He thought. This rookie keeps giving me the play-by-play on every garbage-hauling indie out there.
Four blackbirds, a scorpion, and what the hell is that?
Menenden was just starting to adjust the camera when his view of space was suddenly obscured completely. For a moment, he thought his ship had somehow vectored on a collision course with the Torino Stargate. Panicked, he threw his cruiser into an evasive dive, realizing as the nose tipped over that the Colossus before him was another ship. The behemoth vessel made no attempt to maneuver and held course, just clearing the rear quadrant of his caracal. Five more sets of plasma contrails stopped directly above the Torino Stargate as the Blackbirds and Scorpion decelerated from warp. They settled alongside the enormous unknown ship that had nearly run him over. Menenden barely had time to regain his composure when the captain of the unidentified ship hailed him.
Attention Navy vessel, please contact your commanding officer and have him set up a video feed from your camera drones to this ship. In a few minutes, we'll be conducting live fire exercises for Ishikon's latest product in cutting-edge capital ship technology.
A very shocked Lieutenant Rapola observed that the captain speaking had a 25 million ISK bounty set to his head.
Act quickly, Lieutenant. I'm about to turn you into a Navy hero.
Location, Solar System ROIR TAC-Y.
I don't care how dug in they are or how many casualties you have to take. We are not leaving without Gavriel's corpse. And if I have to destroy that station to get it, I will. Do not fail me, Commander.
Yes, sir.
Bane terminated the radio communication with his troops aboard 409 and switched channels.
Scouting team, report.
The voice on the other end was clearly impatient.
Sir. We have strike teams in position at Niner India, Echo Charlie, and Papa 3. We've covered the entire Empire border with our pattern and are expanding north towards the boundaries of Pure Blind. If he ran south, he hasn't been sighted by any of our assets on the inside yet.
Continue to expand your search grid and report in 10 minutes, Captain.
Yes,
Bane shut the comm down before the pilot could finish. Then he composed a message to Otro.
Death is upon your traitorous mentor, boy. He will die remembering you as a coward who abandoned him in his time of need.
Again, the response came within a minute. Gavriel is my friend. You are always the mentor, Bane, and death is certainly upon you. This concludes Chapter 5 of Ruthless and Episode 63 of the Eve Reader Podcast. Cast details and production notes are available at www.evereader.org/ruthless. Thank you for listening. If you're interested in learning more about the rich history of the Eve universe, please visit the Eve Chronicle site at community.eveonline.com/backstory/chronicles. Copyright information regarding the Chronicles in this podcast may be found at evereader.org/copyright.html.